Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode from Setting the Tone. Today is our Kill the Light special. Stick around because you won't want to miss this one. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to a brand new episode from Setting the Tone. Today is our Kill the Light special. Simply, we have got an interview with James coming up from the band, where we delve into the album and the making of Death Melodies, which comes out everywhere Friday, the 8th of March. By the time you hear this episode, the album will be out. It's a great album. It's packed full of riff. It's packed full of great vocal choruses, hooks, melodies. It's a great all-rounded metal album, and I'm giving it a massive 9 out of 10. So go and check it out when it comes out. It'll be out everywhere digitally as well as physically. And I'll be posting links if you need a gentle reminder where to pick up the album physically. Right now on Kill the Lights' website, they are doing a really, really cool offer. If you pre-order the album, I believe on CD or vinyl, you get free The Sinner. What a bargain. Buy one album, get another absolutely free on physical release. Say no more. Right next, though, we were playing your track called Sleep With The Devil, taken from the album Death Melodies. As I said, that album is out everywhere this Friday.
Push away all these feelings of pain. Carry me in your arms. I can face all these thoughts in my head without hurting myself. Cut me open and bury these scars.
Cause
Hello everyone and welcome back. I hope you're enjoying the show so far. That was the track Sleep With The Devil, taken from the album Death Melodies, which is out everywhere by the time you hear this episode. Go and check this album out. It's a great all-rounded metal album. Here's our interview with James. Hope you enjoy it.
Awesome, man.
James, welcome to Setting the Tone. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to join us. If you don't know, James is from the band Kill The Lights. Death Melodies is the follow-up to 2020's The Sinner. Take me through the journey, James. How did this one come together in terms of lyrical themes and ideas for the album?
Yeah, I mean, we somehow got lumped into that whole COVID situation there, which was a huge pain in the ass for all of us. So obviously, our first album came out kind of during COVID, and you know, we spent the last couple of years here writing, you know, all over the place. We're in Canada, we're in England, we're in the US, you know, just trying to figure out a way to do it. And we're just excited to finally have the record kind of come out, you know. And for us, we're just excited about it. I think it's kind of the overall sounds evolved. I think just musically we've evolved as a band, and I'm just really excited for people to hear it.
Cool. What is the album about?
I mean, quite a few topics are covered, but specifically lyrically, really kind of touching on kind of the mental health perspective, right? Kind of depression, anxiety. And I think, again, over the last few years, I think everybody's probably been impacted by it. And, you know, personally, myself, I've dealt with anxiety and depression. And I think it's just kind of really sharing that story, being able to talk about it, create a platform for people to be able to, you know, I can, you know, as guys generally, we don't always have the ability, don't want to or don't feel comfortable sharing, but I think the more it becomes a norm to be able to talk about things like that, the better it's going to be for everybody. And, you know, maybe we've all lost friends and family, and people have we've lost them along the way due to that inability to talk through stuff or ask for help, you know. So a large part of that, you know, some relational conversations pieces going on in the lyrical content too. And then in addition to that, it's just, you know, really creating a space for, like, we all go through these difficult things, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel. I think that's an important thing to kind of really emphasize here. Like, there is a way out of it. There is a way to figure this out. I think if anything, some of the lyrical content is dark, but that being said, I really want people to leave with the thought that, you know, I may be going through this right now, other people are going through this right now, but, you know, I can ask for help, I can reach out, and I can change my life, you know. So
no, I fully agreed. Really, really important topic, and something I think it relates to everyone, mental health, regardless if you're in the music industry or not. But I think more so music industry, I don't think a lot's kind of spoke about, or doesn't feel like it is, if that's fair to say. Unfortunately, you know, we've lost Chester and Chris Cornell over the years due to those reasons, unfortunately.
Yeah. I think the expectation is when you play in a band and do rock star things, life's supposed to be perfect. You don't have any other problems ever again, you know? Well, unfortunately, depression, anxiety, and all those things don't care whether you sell a million records or sell two records. It really has the ability to kind of grab you and not let go. So I think, you know, over the last 5-10 years with, you know, Chester and Chris, and, you know, kind of that, there is a lot more awareness about it. There's a lot more people willing to talk about it now, which I think is awesome. I don't think we're there yet. And, you know, even personally, I'm really poor at being able to share my feelings. I think we're in a better place now than we were, but I think there's still room to grow, and you know, there's still plenty of places we can support each other and lift each other up. And, you know, one of the reasons I got into music in the first place was to find people kind of like me, right? You know, like, didn't necessarily feel you totally fit in. And you know, the rock/metal community is an embracing community of people that we kind of find our people, you know? So I think this genre is a great space for lifting people up too. And I think we can just continue to make that a better place.
Agreed. In terms of leveling up, what have you tried to do differently to this release, to the previous, whether it be vocal techniques for yourself? I appreciate the guys can't have to talk about guitar tones because they're not on the call at the moment, but for yourself, what have you tried doing vocally or even songwriting?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was around kind of stretching what I would usually do, and thinking out the box, trying to think out of the box a little bit, you know. Again, if you look, you know, our roots are kind of in that metalcore genre, right? But I think on the first record, we touched on different genres within that too. It still felt like Kill the Lights. And I think it's the same thing here. We're just trying to push the boundaries a little bit of what we want to do and keep it interesting for us while keep it interesting for the listener. I think not as anything wrong with writing 12 songs exactly alike, but for us, I think it's about kind of the journey of the album, you know, and songs within that to keep people interested and do stuff you kind of don't always expect to hear or see. And for me, like hitting some falsetto stuff and different scream styles and all those different dynamics within that. I'm pretty proud of this one. Just with the dynamics I managed to kind of capture in it for sure.
Cool. How did you go about making this better? Did you kind of sit down before you went to it going, right, here's the ideas, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to get to from point A to point B?
So for us, we never really sit down and plan out what it should be. It kind of organically creates itself. We had about 24 songs, you know, that have been written and demoed out. So we really did sit down and kind of figure out, hey, which 12 songs are going to be the strongest overall? And, you know, we spent a day figuring out the sequence of those songs on the album too, to kind of make sure it just flows correctly as well. So for us, it's really about, you know, nothing was off the table stylistically, and pursuing ideas that may not be a norm, but give it a push and give it a try and see how it goes. And if it works, it works great. If it doesn't, scratch it, you know? So I think with this record versus the first record, this to me seems a bit more well-rounded. Feels like we are now writing as Kill the Lights versus maybe the first album where it was, hey, you got all these dudes from previous other bands coming together to create something. I think we've kind of found a bit of our own sound now, which I'm excited about. It feels like really our first, although we've had one album out, it feels like a true first release, you know, to really get pushing, chasing and touring after. So
would it be fair to say, James, on the previous album, you're all, like you say, from previous bands, but as opposed to being one band and Kill the Lights, you're all still taking ideas from your previous ideas and bring that and kind of maybe having a little bit of influence from those bands that you were in previously?
Well, you can't, there's no way, you know, I call bullshit on anything. Anybody who says you can't be influenced, I mean, if you look at who's in the band, they were key writers in every one of those bands. So their style is them, right? They are part of that. Like, if you look back to the early founders of some of those genres, they are the guys in that, right? So to say you couldn't hear a Moose drumbeat or a Jay Scream or bassline or a Jordan riff, like, it is what he wrote, all was still remain stuff. Travis wrote a lot of threats of those stuff, like, so to not see any influence of that would be impossible. But where the key is trying to take all those influences together and melt it together to create a sound that's like, it's a nod to some of those bands, but also it's its own entity and carries its own weight. I think that's the battle. It's like, like people keep using the word supergroup, and that is what that is, right? I mean, there's pressure with that it's supposed to be, and there's a lot of not good supergroups too, to be honest. So it's hard to get a group of guys that have all done such good things and then to create a fresh new sound and make it interesting without trying to seemingly kind of taking another band's ideas. So I think, like I said, I think it was a better mix, and the way this came together it's Kill the Lights now. You know what I mean? I think we could play that album. You wouldn't need to know what band we're in, and it holds its own weight.
Is there a song or a section on this album where you go, yeah, we've nailed that, I'm really, really proud of that particular song or section? Or is it just proud of the album in general? I think you've already mentioned that.
Yeah, I just think in general, you know, I think, you know, I've been in bands for 20 years, and so it's kind of always been a work in progress, you know. And I guess, you know, you laugh, right? Because every band's going to tell you the last album or the next album's the best album, right? But for me personally, I just there's certain parts where I'm like, holy shit, I managed to hit that. So, you know what I mean? Like just stuff I didn't think I'd be able to do, and I'm pretty proud of it, proud of myself for being able to do it for sure. So I think just the balance, the mix of stuff that I managed to get vocal in the album is what I'm most proud of for sure.
I think vocally it's got a really good range of, you know, that kind of melodic sound and the screams, the growls, and it's got, like you say, it's really all rounded really well.
You know, Jay really coming into fold, right? So like, again, you bring Jay into the fold on this record too. So that's a space where he was an intricate part of the vocal sound of Bullet too, right? So it's fitting him into the mix and making him, because I think everybody could kind of pick out Jay's scream. Mm-hmm. From the middle of nowhere, you could. It's just Jay, right? But how can we blend that so it doesn't feel like it's just Jay and then Kill the Lights? How does it become an intricate part of it. And how do I do some of the screaming? He do some of the screaming, and how do we balance it out to kind of just work? And like I said, I think it's just really nice to have his texture on this as well. And it helps me live as well, which is awesome. He does a great job with that. So yeah, I think there's a nice balance.
Was there any particular struggles or issues with making the album over the last couple of years? Obviously, we've had the pandemic that we've all been a fortunate part of. Did that play a part at all for this?
Yeah, it was a huge kick in the ass. I mean, we kind of delayed the first album coming out, right? And then we had those two kind of years there of trying to figure out. I mean, we flew out to Canada, but all of us, to meet up to be able to get together in a room. That's what we had to do for some of us. You know what I mean? Like, that's... But like I say, it came together really nicely. The great, we had writing sessions in Grand Rapids, in Canada, in England, you know, in Minneapolis. And the great part about this is we, you know, some of those sessions was the whole band, some of it was two members, some of it was three, and mix of different members, and it all synced up nicely to be able to do it. So it was difficult, but we kind of used to everybody living in different places in the first place. It's always how we kind of tend to write anyway, so it's no real different from normal. But like I said, it's really nice to be able to, like I said, we recorded in England, finished some of the vocals over in Minneapolis, but to be to get all together to work on that, and you know, just a couple of tunes kind of dramatically changed in the studio. We were actually up at Andy Sneap's studio, who Andy was a guitarist and producer for Judas Priest. So we're up his beautiful, beautiful farmhouse / studio. I mean, in the middle of Derbyshire, which was phenomenal. It was a 2-minute walk to the pub, which was glorious. So, yeah, that just being in the room and that kind of environment was just phenomenal too. I mean, we'd get to listen to Andy practice Judas Priest sets most days, which you can't beat that, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I talk about a sneak peek, right, for the tour that's coming up in the UK. In terms of inspiration for this album, obviously you've talked about a variety of topics, mental health, etc. Is there any other ways that you get inspiration, whether it be simple tasks like walking the dog or, I don't know, doing the food shop? Is there anything that you take from those everyday tasks?
Yeah, not really. I mean, like, to me, I'm tends to be a bit bigger picture stuff, to, like, you know, life struggles, battles, again, highlights, good stuff that happens in life too. You know, some of the lyrical content is specific to me. Some of it's more of a generalized thing too, you know? And, yeah, it's, sometimes hard to find inspiration. Sometimes I can write a song in 10 minutes, the guys will send me an idea. Other times I might have to sit and run through a couple hundred times to really push through it. So I think with any art, you can't force it. And the listener for sure as shit is going to know if you're phoning it in, and if it's contrived, you know. So oftentimes I have to leave it and come back to stuff, you know, and work through that. And even with lyrics specifically, like I oftentimes have to go back in and review the lyric and review the type of lyric I'm using. And sometimes I have to cut specific words out and things too, because I tend to want to use it frequently, you know? So we're kind of pretty, I do that a lot with Chris, who's one of the producers on the album too. You know, we kind of sat in a room and worked through some of the lyrics and, hey, how can we say this in a different way without using the same lyric too? Because, you know, oftentimes when you're talking about some of the same subject, you kind of use some of the same lyric. So I want to make sure at least aware of that and keeping it interesting, you know?
That's fine. I appreciate this is only album two, and mixed in with a few singles. Where do you feel this sits at the moment within the body of Kill the Lights?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's you take the original album, you know, which was kind of the base level, and we've for surely up that. We stretched kind of every boundary of the things we were doing. So I think dynamically, all the songs are just they're written better, they're put together better, they're thought through better, the process of doing it was better. I just feel like it's a much stronger representation for the second album, which, you know, I'm super proud of that fact, because again, not every band can, the freshman album, you know, plenty of bands have that first release that's the best release and they can never capture that again, you know. And we can probably both go through a list of 5 to 10 bands that have done that. I really believe that this is a space that we've outdone our first record, which is hard to do, you know, but as long as we can always keep doing that and pushing the boundaries, I think we'll be happy.
Yeah, you mentioned something a few seconds ago about bullshit. Fans call out bullshit. I'll just mention this to a band that I've just been speaking to, that as a fan, and I appreciate you as well, you see and hear things out of bands. You know, if you connect with a band, you know you're connected. If you think, I'm not buying that, if I can't get over, you see it, right?
Yeah. I mean, again, the social media world we live in, the level of education that music listeners have these days is phenomenal, which is awesome, right? But they can see when a band is, they've just thrown 12 songs together to put a record out for the sake of it, or rushed a record, or trying to repeat a certain style of song that was a great song they had on a previous record. You know, like, fans call bullshit on that. And I think just a music listener is pretty savvy these days, and they can tell when people mean what they're saying, or, you know what I mean? I think I can, and you can, and most of your listeners probably can too. So again, we don't hide behind the ability to go from a more mellow song to a thrash song to a metalcore song. Like, and we did that in the first record. We've done it on the second record. We're not like changing anything on this besides stretching what the boundaries can be. You know, we have a song Sleep with the Devil, and the outro's kind of got a bit of a gospel vocal vibe to it. Right. But why not? Like, why not try and push the boundary on that? If it works, it works. I think restricting yourself on what you're supposed to be able to do is kind of a failure of some bands, right? Like, you to not try and push that boundary, right? While still kind of staying in your kind of core metalcore, metal slash thrash vibe, what all of our roots are. But, you know, like you say, fans can tell if we're not interested in the music, they won't be interested in it. So I think it's we need to keep it fresh for ourselves too.
Yeah, it's a fine balance, because I appreciate you want to write music for yourselves, and obviously you're trying to ensure the album or the song does really well, but equally you're not making it for little Timmy over in the corner there, because it fits his idea of what you should be. You're trying to do it for everybody as well as yourselves. It's a really fine balance, I feel, to do.
Like I say, I think it just comes down to, if you're trying to true to yourself and true to what we've grown up listening to and working on and playing, right? Then people will see that and understand that you're doing it for the love of writing metal music, rock music, you know, versus just you're trying to do it to sell records, which we're not. Like, we're doing it because this is what we love and listen to, you know. And if you go through our playlists, you'll see a broad spectrum of, from old school punk to thrash to metalcore, right? To, I mean, gosh, even to lighter stuff, you know. So it's just a reflection of who and what we listen to. So
What's next for yourselves? Obviously, the album drops, I believe, this Friday. I assume there's going to be some touring and promoting the album coming up.
Yep. So we are going out on a European tour, UK European tour here, starting mid-April, April 18th, 19th, starting out from Cardiff, hitting London, going all the way through the UK, and then out through, got some Netherlands dates. We've got a date in Prague. We've got like 5 or 6 German dates. So super excited to get out there. You know, we'd love to see. I mean, right now we're super excited to see our fans, encourage everybody to come out. I mean, we're super excited about this headlining run, because there is an all like our favorite, like, and it's just like those sweaty 200 cap tiny rooms. Look, I don't know about you, but that's like my favorite place to see a metal show. You get that room full with 150 people. It's like the best shows you ever go to, you know. And we're just, you know, the band, I was chatting with the guys in the band the other day, and it's just like, we're just so excited to see these venues, you know. It's just going to be, just everybody's going to be packed in there. It's going to be a super good time. And like I say, just, we're really excited to kind of hang out and really get a chance to hang out with our fans for the first time after the first album. We didn't get to tour much on that. So we're just excited to be out there and kind of meet everybody.
I think that's a really important point that you just made. Unfortunately, because of the pandemic, it almost feels a little bit of catch up. You've got the first album to kind of showcase, and now you've got this to showcase as well.
Yeah, a lot of people mean, like, because, you know, for some people, like, we're probably still a new band, right? And it's people like, holy crap, these guys got a whole new album we didn't even listen to yet, you know? So it's great, because I go back in a back catalog and I'm like, holy shit, all right. So it's great that way. We had a nice foundation for people. It's not like we just came out and I've got like 5 songs to listen to, so it really gives people kind of some something to listen to, which is great. But you know, I'm going to play a mix of new songs and old songs. I think we need to play a bunch of the old tunes from that record too. That's important for a headline set, because people want to hear that. And I'm going to throw in some of the new songs too, which we're really excited to play as well. So
last one for myself, what makes music so special for yourself, James?
Honestly, it's a bit of therapy for me, right? It's the ability to kind of express myself, you know, kind of share my art. And again, it's like a therapy piece for me, just to be able to share my thoughts and feelings. And connect with people, make friends with people, travel the world and do, I mean, I'm so lucky to be able to do that, right? I grew up, as we talked about, I grew up in a small town, well, small town-ish, Peterborough. So it wasn't usually set up for I wasn't supposed to be in a rock band traveling the world, right? And, you know, you're from Northampton, so same kind of thing, right? We weren't born to do that. But I moved to the U.S. 20 years ago, and I've been lucky enough to kind of have some crazy experiences that were never supposed to happen. You know, it's just, I'm just excited to be able to be given the chance to be able to do it. You know what I mean? I could consider myself very lucky to be able to do that. So just excited to get out to see a lot of friendly faces too, you know, like back to England. And obviously the closest show for me is going to be Nottingham. So I'm excited about that. It's not too far from Peterborough, but yeah, just kind of get to see some friendly faces and get to have conversations with people that just are excited about the record and the stuff we're putting out. So
Death Melodies comes out this Friday from Kill the Lights. Go and check it out. It'll be physical release. I think it's a really cool little promotion that you're doing at the moment. If you buy the album on, I think, vinyl CD, you get the first album free, I think, on the website. It's all the other day. So
that would be correct. Yeah. We've got like three different bundles going on for that right now. So yeah, you get the Sinner CD physical in for free.
So go and do that. What you got to lose. James, been a pleasure talking to you, buddy. I can't believe that the connection's so close to home there. That's weird, but awesome to chat to you. All the best with the album and obviously the tour, and hopefully catch you on the show, man.
Appreciate it. We'll see you soon. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye, mate. Welcome back, everyone. So that was our interview with James there from the band Kill the Lights. Their album, their second album, Death Melodies, is out everywhere. You've heard him say it so many times. Go and check it out. It's a really, really good album. Really, really good. Just a couple of quick thank yous. Firstly, thank you to you, everyone out there that's tuned in to yet again another episode from Set the Tone. It means the absolute world. I can't thank you enough. Just recently celebrated Set the Tone's 4th year anniversary. Honestly, thank you so much for tuning in, hearing what I've got to say. I want to also shout out to all the bands, artists that have been on the show, anyone that's come on for an interview, anyone that's allowed me to review. Thank you very much over the last few years. And of course, management, PRs, labels, without you, you know, allow me to speak to your artists that you represent, I wouldn't be able to do it. So thank you. I hope to be able to do it for many more years to come. So until the next time, bye-bye for now, and thank you once again.